Well, just a little bit off schedule, but I just want to, God's been so good to me this week, and I just this song's been on my heart, and I just ask you guys to join me, and it goes like this. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free, it make me dance, 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 dance all night. Come on, y'all. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free, it make me dance, 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 dance all night. If he did something good for you this week, you should be up on your feet right now praising him, giving him praise. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free, it make me dance, 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 dance all night. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free and make me dance, 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 dance all night. What about all week, y'all? Come on. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free and make me dance, 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 dance all week. Come on, y'all. Come on, one more time. Come on, come on. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free, it make me dance, 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 dance all week. Woo! Woo! Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free and make me dance, 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 dance all night. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Yeah. He's been good. He's been good. He's been good. Woo! Woo! Give him praise. Give him praise. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me this week. What you're going to do for me next week. Hallelujah. One more time, y'all. Come on, come on. But when I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free and make me dance, 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 dance all night. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I got you on your feet. We're just going to go to the Word of God. Father God, as we gather for worship this morning, we ask for our hearts to be open to you to allow us to flow in the midst, for you to flow in the midst of your people, Lord God. We thank you for what you have done for us all week long. Father God, you are just amazing, and I just want to give you praise this morning. Thank you for the things that you have done, Lord God, and Lord God, thank you for the things that you're going to do. You've been so good. You're so good. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask you to join me with the scripture this morning in Proverbs 11:6. This morning I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Say amen when you got it. Give you some more time. That's Proverbs 11:6. All right. Proverbs 11:6 reads, "The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught
by their lust. Let me read that one more time. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We transition this service to Sister Leah for a sermonic selection.
Hallelujah. 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 The Lord has certainly been so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I tried, Lord, you've been so good to me. Let's all declare it again. Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try, Lord, you've been so good to me. Good, you've been so good. Yes, he has. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I tried, Lord, you've been so good, so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. To me, oh, so many doors you've opened, and so many ways you've made, and so many times you've healed me. Yes, you've been better than good to me. So many doors you've opened, and so many ways you've made. So many times you've healed me. Oh, you've been better than good to me. So many doors you've opened, and so many ways you've made. So many times you've healed me. You've been better than good to me. Been better than good to me. You've been better than good to me. You've been better than good to me. You've been better than good to me. He's 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 been better than good to me. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You've been so good, Lord God. Woo! I don't know about y'all, but He's been good to me. You've been so good. Woo! So good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness, Lord God. You've been so good. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, man. At this time, we ask for Pastor Jonathan Ford to introduce the speaker of the hour.
Good morning, and God bless you. What a wonderful joy to see all of your faces here this morning. Thank God for your being here today. What a real treat we have today in having Minister Joe Reed join us this Sunday morning. From right around the corner, Bible Union Fellowship. I just wanted to say this about him, about him and his wife. Like so many churches coming out of the pandemic, we were all kind of scrambling, trying to regain our footing, if you will. In terms of the worship service, our weekly programming, all of that, and to a large extent, some churches are still trying to work out all that, you know, all the details and how we do things now. And I remember I was feeling, I guess, down in my spirit, if I could say it that way. I was feeling down in my spirit. Preaching had become very difficult during that season because the church as a whole had just gone through just so much upheaval. You got the church and then you got your family, society, and everything was just all over the place. But as the old preachers used to tell us when we were young, there are seasons when you just gotta preach on through. There's nothing you can do. You just got to preach on through. But as we were going through that process, and again, we weren't alone. Many churches was going through it. One of the challenges for me personally in preaching, because we hadn't got our format right, because we hadn't gotten people in place to do certain things, there was no real level of worship before the word. And it was like I was just hitting the ground dry every Sunday. And I was trying to pray myself up and in the room and all of that. And it just wasn't working. You know what I mean? And I just so happened to be speaking to Pastor Becky about some other things. And I said, you know what, Pastor Becky? I said, Pastor Becky, I need someone to come sing for me. And so she was saying, I want someone to come sing for a Sunday, you were having Women's Day or whatever. And she was like, oh, yeah, I'll find that. I said, no, I need someone to come sing on like a consistent basis. It ain't there yet, and I'm just running out of time. I need to go to, oh, yeah. I said, how about your daughter? She was like, oh, okay, well, let me check with her. I said, you check with her and make it real sweet. Put a little honey on it, make it real nice. So she'll say yes. She goes, no, man. She said she'd do it, put in touch, whatever. So Sister Leah came, and that was such a lift to our worship service. It was a lift to me personally. If you ever get a chance, I want you to, I think it's Second King, one of the kings, First or Second Kings. And the king comes to the man of God. And he wants the man of God to inquire of God regarding an upcoming battle. I think they were fighting the Amalekites or somebody. But whatever, whoever the king of Israel at the time. And I think it was Elisha who was the, I think it was Elijah. Whatever, you look at it, it's in there. But anyway, he calls the prophet. He said, I want you to inquire God, are we going to have success in this battle? Can we go out and get success? And he calls on the man. The man of God comes into the court of the king. And this is what he says. He says, bring me a minstrel. That's what he said. The king wants him to inquire of God. He wants him to pray. Go, whatever you do to get in front of God and get a word for us regarding your coming back. He said, before I do anything, he said, bring me a minstrel. He said, bring someone that can help stir up this atmosphere so that when I do pray, I can get through to God. And I think of that all the time because that's how she was to us. She came and she just stirred up the atmosphere. And my spirit immediately felt better. I was lifted, able to come in and be able to preach. She buys us some time. Now our praise team is now getting there and starting. And so we're starting to get there, you know what I mean? But when I needed it most, Sister Leah came in and stepped in. And so that was wonderful. And we love Sister Leah. Y'all know that and all that type of stuff. But here's the thing. So, all right, well, Sister Leah ain't preaching. I know. I'm working my way there. I'm taking y'all the long route. So Sister Leah would come, and so the first thing I admired about Joe is he always came with his wife. She never came by herself. He always came. He was like, she came, well, that was the first thing. But then the second thing was, I found him some Sundays. Now, she sang. Now, I'm up preaching. Then I would find him on some Sundays over on the drums. And I looked, and I thought it was one of the young guys. I was like, about time, where all y'all young guys over there, get on those drums, you know? When we were young, we couldn't wait to get on the drums. The real drummer didn't show up, we'd be fighting. We over there. And I said, who is this with this, the thing on the, I said, that's Joe over there on the drums. He'd be over there tapping. He'd be trying to help me. I said, well, thank God. And I thank God because that example, if you can appreciate it, is the type of man he is. That's the type of man. He's helpful. That's what, I got the witness. I got the witness. And that can't be said of all people. He didn't ask for nothing. He didn't look for nothing. He assessed what the situation was. Found a place where he could help, and he stepped in the void. Right? That's what you call someone who is helpful. You follow what I'm saying? You don't have to ask him for that. He stepped in and began to add to the worship service instead of sitting and just take or be a spectator. And I just so admired that. I said, man, that's how you do it. That's what God calls us to do. To be able to come into an environment and situation, assess what's going on, and find a way to help. And that's what he has done for our ministry. And so we're just so delighted to have him come and to be a part of our worship experience. So grateful for him. So grateful for his wife. Been such a blessing. So grateful for his mother-in-law. Now, I didn't told them about you. Sharing this with him inside, I was chatting with his mother-in-law, and we were talking about some other stuff, and just kind of in passing, she said, well, you know Joe's a preacher. I said, he is he? She said, yeah, you didn't know that? I said, I know now. And while I was talking, I was texting Barb, yeah, send out an invite, call Sister Leah, get his number, we're going to have him come. And so we're blessed to have him come. That's it. I'm not going to fool around anymore. Come on, let's stand and receive our man of God, Minister Joe Reed. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for him.
Thank you so much for clapping for me. But I didn't wake you up this morning. I didn't get you started on your way. I'm not the reason that you're breathing oxygen this morning. If you know who I'm talking about, you go ahead and start clapping. Yes, indeed. I did not give you life, health, and strength. I did not give you the activity of your limbs. Feel free to keep clapping. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God for Jesus. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I give God praise and honor. It's a pleasing plum privilege to stand at this sacred desk on this morning. I honor God. I honor his son. Just please be seated. Please be seated. I honor my heavenly Father, the master and creator of all things great and small, Jesus the Christ, his only begotten son. He was human. He was divine. He truly lived. He suffered. He died. He has risen again. He is seated at the right hand of our Father, and we are yet looking in anticipation for his return. We who are ready. So I ask you, my brother, my sister, are you ready for Christ's return? To the Holy Spirit, our comfort, our guide, our counselor, the one who leads us, who shows us the correct path to go down. Sometimes I refer to him as my GPS, my godly positioning system. Say, Joe, go that way. Don't go this way, go that way. And if I'm wise enough to follow his lead, he has never led me wrong. Amen. Amen. We give praise and honor to the triune God on this morning, to the shepherd of this house, the one of the most preachingest men I've ever heard, to Elder Jonathan Ford. Put your hands together for the man of God. We thank God for him. Amen. Amen. Thank God for him. Appreciate you for the opportunity to stand and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ on this morning. Amen. Give honor to each and every person here, deacons, ministers, deacons, saints, friends. I see a familiar face or two in the back. If you're from Bible Union, I certainly appreciate you being here on this morning. God bless you. And of course, to my lovely wife, Sister Leah Reed, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Somebody get that tambourine real quick. Amen. Giving honor to my own pastor, even in her absence, Elder Rebecca Deloach, who also has the privilege of calling me her son in love. Amen. Amen. And the privilege is mine as well. Thank God for her. As Pastor Ford said, I'm your brother from right down the street, right around the corner. Minister Joseph Reed, feel free to call me Brother Joe. That's my name at Bible Union. Brother Joe, come in, help out. Come here, do this, do that. And I'm, as he stated, he made a true statement. I'm a helper, as we all should be. In the house of God, if we see a void and we're able to fill the void, as a matter of fact, the scripture says it's sin for you to sit by and do nothing when you can help and do something. So if there's something to be done, my brother, my sister, if you're sitting there saying, I wish it was done this way instead of that way, well, maybe you need to join in. Amen. 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 That's not my sermon for today. And a matter of fact, we can almost stand up and give a benediction right quick because Elder Ford already slipped the sermon in there. Yes, indeed. We can almost give a benediction, but I'm going to go ahead since I was called. To my brother here, I believe it's Brother Tyrone. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I was a little stiff. I was a little apprehensive when you're standing behind a new desk. I've preached before, but I hadn't preached at this desk. So I was a little apprehensive even while I was in the back talking to Pastor Ford and we walked out and my seat was off right here by itself and a little apprehensive. And then Brother Tyrone was up here when I think about Jesus and his feet got light. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, let me take off that weight of stiffness and let me get loose. Amen. So God bless you, sir. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. We are not going to waste any time in getting to the task at hand. Amen. Open up your Bible, if you will. Turn over to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to hit the first two verses, and then we're going to jump down to verse number 25. Just going to get a little background on the text for this morning. Numbers chapter 13. If it's your custom, please stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. Numbers chapter 13, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. We've been studying, we just finished up studying Battlefield of the Mind by Evangelist Joyce Myers. I don't know if you ever read that, but you'll hear me refer to it a couple of times during this morning's message. But she uses the Amplified Bible quite often, and it's really growing on me. It's really growing on me. Of course, the King James Version, that's the official version of the United Holy Church, which we're a part of. But that Amplified Bible really breaks it down, really amplifies the word, just as the name says. So let's get into the reading right here. Numbers chapter 13, beginning at the first verse, and the word of God reads like this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. From each of their father's tribes, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. We'll hit verse number 3:2. So Moses sent spies from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of them who were heads of the Israelites. To verse number 25 we go. When they returned from spying out the land, at the end of 40 days, they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the land's fruit. They reported to Moses and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. But the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified, they're walled and very large. Moreover, we saw there the descendants of Anak, people of great stature and courage. The people descended from Amalek live in the land of the Negev, the south country. The Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the Dead Sea and along the side of the Jordan. Verse number 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we will certainly conquer it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people of Canaan, for they are too strong for us. Last verse. So they gave the Israelites a bad report about the land which they had spied out. We'll go ahead and stop right there. We thank God for the reading of his word. The word of God is already blessed. Would you bow your head for a moment with me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and give you praise. You woke us up. You got us started on our way. You're the reason that we are here and alive today, Father God. We thank you for the service. Everything that's already been done up to this point now, Father God, we pray that you would step in, take over. I give myself a willing vessel. Have your way, Father God, as I speak these words to your people. And we pray that hearts are open, that hearts are softened and ears are open to receive the word as it comes forth today. These and all things we pray, it's in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Amen. For a topic on today, I would like to use a Caleb mentality. A Caleb mentality. So in 1996, the Charlotte Hornets selected a young man out of Lower Marion High School. You might have heard of him before. With the 13th pick in the draft, they selected one Kobe Bryant. And because of a trade, young Kobe became a Los Angeles Laker. In 2003, well into his career, was during a tumultuous period in Kobe's personal life, Kobe would inform the basketball world that he had given birth to an alter ego, calling himself the Black Mamba. Got the idea from a movie entitled Kill Bill, based on an assassin who got their name from the most poisonous snake in the world, the Black Mamba. Calling himself the Black Mamba, he referred to himself as then having a Mamba mentality. Bryant would explain it this way himself. Mamba mentality is all about focusing on the process and trusting in the hard work when it matters most. It is the ultimate mantra for the competitive spirit. Finishing up his professional ball career, 5 NBA championships, 1 league MVP, two NBA Finals MVPs, two league scoring titles. He played in the league for 20 years. While he played 20 years, he was voted to the All-Star game 18 times. Four of those times, he collected an All-Star MVP, along with innumerable other accolades. It's safe to say that Kobe's relentless pursuit of perfection came with great success. And while this type of mentality would work in the world of sports and competition in general, there is another mentality maybe more suited for a child of God to follow. So today, we will discuss that Caleb mentality. Amen. Amen. So a little background information. The people of God, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, they had been under Egyptian rule, subjection, slavery, if you will, for about 400 years, if that sounds correct to you. About 400 years, they were under slavery. They watched God raise up a leader. They watched God raise up one of their own. Right in Pharaoh's court, right in his house, he raised him up. He raised him up. He put him in leadership. And eventually, God used him to lead those people out of captivity. They were free. Their physical bodies were free, but their mental mind, as we will learn, was still bound up. We must learn how to free our mental mind. We have to think about what we are thinking about. All right? So they escape the land. Pharaoh pursues them. They get to the Red Sea. How are we going to cross the Red Sea? God, working a miracle through his servant Moses, opens up the Red Sea, splits the Red Sea. They walk directly across. And then Pharaoh decides, we're going to go back and get them anyway. We let them go. They had all these plagues. We watched God use nine different plagues, including taking their firstborn son. Now, once this took place, Pharaoh said, go, get out of here. You're free. Go away. He changed his mind. Don't you know people change their minds? It's a part of life. It's going to happen. They changed their minds, and we're going to change our minds too. But we still have to follow God, even if someone else changes their mind. Amen. So they're going across the Red Sea. They turn around and look behind them. Pharaoh's army, his chariots, are in full pursuit right behind them. Lord have mercy, what are we going to do? You brought us all this way. We're on foot. We're carrying young. We're carrying old. Some of them might have been injured. We can only go so fast. There's no way we're going to escape an army who's traveling in pursuit of us, wanting to take us out or take us back into captivity. Thank God for his miracle. They got across safe and sound, and the waters closed back up. God gave the Israelites permission to cross over the Red Sea. He never gave Pharaoh permission to do the same. Amen. So when you're walking in God's purpose, you're safe. When you're not walking in God's purpose, you better watch out. Praise God. So they see all this take place, and now they finish up their journey. They make their way right to the edge of the promised land. They can see it. They're not allowed to go in just yet, but I can see it. And it's already been promised by God that we will inherit the land. We will take the land. We will subdue the land. The land is ours. It belongs to us. One writer said God's promise was the title deed. That's a real estate term, a tax term, if you will. Before I moved up here, I worked in a tax office, and I was proud of my job. It was only one of five positions in the entire county. I was proud of my job, and people would say, Brother Joe, where you work at? I said, I work in the tax office, with a big smile on my face. I soon learned to stop telling people where I worked at. Every time I would tell them where I worked at, you the reason why my tax is going up. I soon learned to stop telling people where I worked at. But when you have a title deed, that land in the tax office, that land is yours. It belongs to you. So the land belongs to you. The land belonged to the children of God. But the land was already inhabited. There were already people living in the land. They would have to be taken out. The Jebusites. We read it. Let me read it to you again. The Hittite, the Jebusite, and the Amorite live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the Dead Sea along the side of the Jordan. So the land is already, it belongs to me, but somebody else already has it. Even if they already have it, what God says for you is certainly for you. Amen, anybody? Amen. So the people come The people come with a plan. They come with a plan. They go to Moses. They go to the God-ordained leadership, the same one who went before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And eventually, after enough hardship and plague had hit their country, they let them go. People came to Moses and said, send the men out to spy the land of Canaan. I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. He's going to give it to them. That's the Lord speaking. So they sent out 12 men, one from each tribe. These men were already in the leadership. They were already known. They were already respected. They were already working, as the man of God said. They were already doing the work. All right? So when it was time to move, they said, send these 12 out. Moses picked one out from each tribe, including Joshua and Caleb and 10 others. And they went and checked out the land. They spied the land. What does the land look like? What do the cities look like? What do the people look like? Is it really flowing with milk and honey? We want to see. Indeed it was. The land is flowing with milk and honey. Verse 27, they reported to Moses and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. This is its fruit. The fruit they're talking about is a bushel of grapes. If you think about a bushel of grapes, I can hold up a bushel of grapes in one hand, no problem. In the promised land, it took two men to hold up one bushel of grapes. Did a little research on that. The grapes were about 3 to 4 times larger than what you think a grape would normally be. The grapes were about the size of a plum. So it took two men with a pole, one on my shoulder and another man behind me, Brother Tyrone behind me, and I got to hold mine up a little bit higher. We got that bushel of grapes, and we carried that back to let Moses and Aaron and all the people see how big the grapes are. This is what the fruit looks like. To me, I'd have been ready to run into the land and take my inheritance right then. That's not the case. That's not the case. It looks good. Yes, it certainly does flow with milk and honey. This is its fruit. But the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified. They are walled and very large. Moreover, we saw there the descendants of Anak, people of great stature and courage. Anak is considered to be a giant amongst men. Well-respected, courageous. So they saw him, they saw his descendants, and plain and simple, they got scared. They got scared. Joshua and Caleb, they were the exception, but there were 10 more who got scared. Hold on, time out. Yes, it looks good. Yes, what little grapes that we see are the size of plums. Milk and honey is there. The land looks good. But those people look big to us. Matter of fact, the scripture says we feel like we are grasshoppers standing beside them. And that's how they see us. So they did not share the Caleb mentality. As a matter of fact, it was written that they had a defeatist mentality. Before they ever picked up the first spear, before anybody ever picked up a sword, got into a battle formation. As a matter of fact, as far as I know, the people that I named, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, they didn't know a war was about to take place. They didn't know they were about to be attacked and their land possibly taken away. They were walking around, going to work, going to school, whatever they needed to do. And the people who were getting ready to attack them said, you know what? They too big. They can go ahead and keep it. They were walking and living in a defeatist mentality. Free. The bounds were removed. They had no shackles around their hands or around their feet, but there were shackles in their minds. We're too small. We're too weak. They're too big. They're too strong. That's a defeatist mentality. Matter of fact, they were in the wilderness of Paran. That takes my mind back to what we read, wilderness mentalities. You cannot do the work of God if you are living in a wilderness mentality. An example of a wilderness mentality, mumbling, grumbling, fault-finding, complaining. Everything's wrong. He wrong, she wrong, they wrong over there. Everybody wrong. Taylor Tabernacle, every time I come to Taylor Tabernacle, something wrong. You are walking in a wilderness mentality. God cannot use you. You cannot be used of God if you are walking in a wilderness mentality. Amen. Amen. So they come back with a bad report. They come back. They start off positive. But then they switch it to a negative report. They're too big. They're too strong. We can't do it. Caleb jumped up. He quieted the people before Moses. Verse number 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, "Let us go up at once and take possession of it, for we will certainly conquer it." Caleb had a mentality of courageous faith. That's the type of mentality that you have if you're going to truly be about your Father's business. A courageous faith mentality. Amen. Then all of you approached me and said, "Let us send men into the land before us so that we may explore and search the land." Okay, my verses got mixed up right there. That's all right. All right. So a defeatist, the 10 spies had a defeatist mentality. Caleb, Joshua, mainly we're focusing on Caleb today, they had a mentality of courageous faith. And actually, the Israelite people, they had a mentality of courageous faith as well. Initially, the Israelites weren't afraid to enter into the promised land. They only wanted to know which way they needed to go and how to deal with the enemies that they would soon encounter. Do we need to go from the north, the south? Do we go through the valley? Do we go over the hill? What's the best way to infiltrate the company to take what God has already said belongs to us? It was only after hearing from 10 voices speaking from a defeated mindset. That's a small contingent. We got more than 10 people just sitting on this side of the church right here. Thousands upon thousands of Israelites changed their mind, turned their backs on God's promise because of the voices of 10 men who were in leadership. I know it's men's month at Taylor Tabernacle. We got men's day at Bible Union. Y'all come over if y'all are free. But men and women alike, we have to watch what we say. Our words can speak death or life to the promise. They spoke death. The promise didn't die, but their inheritance of the promise died when they spoke in a defeated mentality. They changed their minds. Once they heard those 10 men speak in that defeated mindset, the people changed their minds. They wanted to turn tail, elect a new leader, and have that new leader return them to slavery in Egypt. Can you imagine? God has went in. He let you stay there for a while because you turned your back on him. He raised up a leader. The leader comes forth, goes to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Eventually, they let go. You're free. He performs another miracle, opens up the Red Sea. You cross the Red Sea. It swallows up the enemy. And now you're free again. All for you to say, "Why are we out here? Why did God send us out here to die? At least when we were in slavery, we had a nice little hut." They gave us a little hut. We had a little fan off on the side. They worked us from sun up to sundown with the whip at our back if our bodies felt like we were getting a little bit too tired to keep up pace. But we got our three cots in the hot. Okay, we got our three cots in the hot. We were doing okay. Now out here, we gotta drink this, we gotta eat this manna. We're walking all day, walking all night, mumbling, grumbling, complaining, fault finding. Moses is wrong. Aaron is wrong. God himself is wrong, even after he saved our life. Everything is wrong. That's a defeated mentality, a wilderness mentality, if you will. Again, I say, your promise can't be kept. You can't do the work, and God's promise to you cannot be kept if you are walking in a defeated mentality. What must we do? 2 Corinthians 10:5 puts it this way. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. We are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. So even if that giant for them, which could be a different giant in your life, the job I got to deal with, that's my giant. The situation that I got to deal with at home, that's my giant. That family member, that coworker, that neighbor that gets on my last nerve. Not y'all, other folks. That one that gets on my nerves, that might be my daily giant. We have to understand that the God we serve is always bigger and better than any giant that we have to face. Amen. Amen. We have to understand that. We have to walk in a courageous faith mentality. Amen. understand this. The ten spies who said they're too big, they're too strong, more than likely, they were probably using common sense. It would be a bad idea for me to walk up on a pro boxer or a pro mixed martial artist and say, hey, man, what's your problem is? What's on your mind, brother? I think about doing stuff like that. They actually go and do it. So a common sense would say, I should walk up on that person and fight that person. That's how they were viewing these giants who are already living in the promised land. Understand, common sense can be an enemy to your faith. Faith will tell you to step out and do what common sense will say, that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to take on people who are bigger than us and taller than us and stronger than us and living in this great big walled fortified city. But my Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, they spoke death to their promise. They spoke death to their promise. Matter of fact, Numbers 14. Let me find it right here. Numbers 14. Let's make that Joshua 14. My mistake, Joshua 14. So they had to wait. Why are you looking for Joshua 14, verse number 6? The people of God had to wait. The promise was theirs, but they no longer had access to the promise. Matter of fact, I meant to leave my keys in the office. I'm glad they didn't. God said, here are the keys to the promised land. Now, the people that live there, they have the land, but here's the keys right here. These belong to you. Once they saw the enemy, they say, you know what, God? You can go ahead and have those keys back. So somebody just gave you the keys to a brand new car, brand new house. All your problems are going to be fixed. Land full of milk and honey and grapes that are the size of plums. So you can only imagine what the rest of the fruit looked like. God said, here are the keys. I'm giving it to you. The master and creator of all things great and small, the sovereign God said, these keys belong to you. Take them. They saw the problem. They stopped looking at God and saw the problem and said, God, you can go ahead and have these keys back. A defeated mindset, a wilderness mentality. We must have courageous faith if we are going to do the work of God and we are going to inherit the promise that God has already said belongs to you and I. Amen. Courageous faith is what we must walk in. We can't use common sense when it comes to following an uncommon God. We can't use our natural sense when it comes to doing the will of a supernatural God. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I'm a conqueror. I'm great. Because the God I serve is a conqueror, I'm a conqueror. Because the God I serve is great, I'm great. Because the God I serve is mighty, I'm mighty. I can and will accomplish his will for my life if I am walking in a Caleb mentality. God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful day. God bless you.
Let's give it up one more time for Reverend Joe Reed. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. At this time, we're going to transition over to our offering and announcement. Somebody say offering time. Somebody say offering time. I'll ask Deacon Todd McCoy to come lead us in offering.
Offering time. Come on, you know I'm coming up here, right? It's offering time. What? That's another way to give. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Offering time. Amen. We just heard about how what? God has been offering everything we need. Right? Offering time. So that we can help what? The building of His kingdom. Through our service. Because offering time, yeah, right now we're talking about some money. But also, what do we need to do when we witness? Offer our time. Amen? Amen. 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 So I'm going to read through this for our offering time. So we know we get to give in one of, I guess it's five ways. Amen? Amen. You can give by text message. You can text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256. And you'll receive a link and instructions. You can give through our website. You can go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. You can give by U.S. mail. You can send a check or a money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. You can give by Venmo, Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. And then we know we have the Cash App issues, but finally, you can give right there. Amen. Got tithes and offerings for the church and for our wonderful preacher. We got offering right there. Amen. Amen. So on your way out, you can just put something in the basket. Amen. And also, now we can offer to our pastor as well. You know that, right? For all the time. He didn't preach today, but what? He's preaching every other time, right? He's working every other time. We can give to him as well. Amen. To support him. And you can go Cash App, $, Pastor Jonathan Ford. You can do Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. So we want to thank you. Amen. Amen. For offering. Not only your resources, but your time. Amen? Amen.
Brother Sean Kimball to come up to read our announcements.
So good morning, church. Good morning. Our announcements for this morning. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page, or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you're not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has a COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Today, immediately following service, Chef Sherry Jane will join us for a cooking demonstration and will provide vegan samples. June 16th is Father's Day. Saturday, June 29th, Ben's Fellowship with the Philadelphia Phillies. Game starts at 4:05. We'll be tailgating starting at 2:05. There are 200 days until Christmas. Can you believe it? So now is the perfect time to begin planning our participation in Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree Christmas. If you are interested in volunteering with or giving toward Angel Tree this Christmas, please join us for a short information session after service. Please bring all questions and ideas. For additional questions, please contact Sister Zakiya Price. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in person, corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday nights is prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 via Google Meets. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sunday. And that's Pastor Ford's Wiley Chapman.
Thank you, Brother Sean Kimball. Just to make an edit to one of them announcements, talking about the Angel Tree information, just want to reread that. Thank you for attending the Angel Tree information session of last Sunday of their meeting. The next meeting will be held Thursday, June 27th via Google Meets, and we will be familiar with the Angel Tree app. Please reach out to Sister Zakiya Price if you would like to attend. All right. At this time, we'll ask our Pastor Jonathan Ford up to come and give the benediction.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to have Pastor Minister Joe come and give us the benediction. But before he does, just wanted to footnote a couple things. On next Sunday, our Father's Day preacher is going to be Pastor Joe Williams. And look at all these Joes, Joe Reed, Joe Williams. I'm going to change my name to Joe. Joe Williams is going to be with us on next Sunday. Listen, make sure you're here next Sunday. You're going to want to hear him. He's a handful, but he's always a delight. He's coming. His wife, some of his church will be here with us. That's on next Sunday. And I also wanted to take a moment and say thank you to all of the men, that are participating in the worship experience throughout this month. Thanks so much for Brother Sean, our faithful van driver. Let's thank God for our van driver. Amen. 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 But willing to be on the program. Thanks to God for Tyrone and Deacon Todd, and for others that will be on the program in the coming Sundays for Men's Month. I know for men, it's not always easy for us to come and stand in a public space and do public speaking. But thank God for your willingness, right? Right? I tell you how we started before we brought Minister Joe up. He was just willing to help, right, and able to fill in the need. So thank God, again, for Brother Sean and for all the men that will be serving throughout this month. Amen? Great. Now we're going to bring Minister Joe Reed up. He's going to give us the benediction. After the benediction, I'm going to ask him and Sister Leah Reed if they would stand here in front of our pulpit. And if before you go, if you could just come and love on them, thank them for being our guests, and really thank them for just being a blessing to our ministry, right? They're such an integral part to our ministry, and God has given us this opportunity to return kindness unto them. Amen. Shall we all stand everywhere?
We thank God for the word. I realized when I sat down, I gave you a scripture and we didn't read the scripture. Go home and read the scripture. In your spare time, we won't get into the gist of it. Plain and simple, those who didn't believe, they were relegated to the wilderness. They had to die in the wilderness. They could not receive their promise, their inheritance. Caleb, with his courageous faith, 40 years in the wilderness, and then 5 years fighting, Caleb received his inheritance. He was told, everywhere your footstep and everywhere your eye looked at, that land was going to belong to you and your kin. Courageous faith will lead you to your promise. Amen. Amen. Before our benediction, today at Bible Union, it is Men's Day, as I stated earlier. If you're free, men and everyone alike, right down the street around the corner, 2 p.m., We'll be having a Men's Day at Bible Union, the Elder Robert Pinckney of the Pentecostal House of Praise. He will be our speaker, a mighty man of God, a mighty preacher indeed. If you've never heard him, come by and fellowship and join in on Men's Day if you're free. Amen. And now for our benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this service. We pray that the word has permeated the heart of the hearer, that it will lead to change in their life, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity to be used of you. And now as we go our separate ways, we pray your blessing over each and every person, each and every household represented in the house on this morning. In Jesus' name, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, to the only wise God, be dominion, majesty, and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen.